Okay, folks, let's start. So this lecture really continues on from where we are before, where I was talking. I began to talk about languages and regular expressions. And so what we're going to talk about in this lecture is the relationship between language and state, and talk about how finite state machines correspond to regular expressions. I'll show you in a moment precisely what I mean by a regular expression and precisely what I mean by the language for a regular expression. So there's quite a few concepts that you need in this lecture. There's the notion of a regular expression, there's what it means to be a language for a regular expression, and then the second half, there's how you think about that language and that regular expression in terms of the finite state machine models that you've seen. So lots of bits and pieces that we need to actually, this is kind of a lecture with pulling various bits and pieces together, as you'll see. Okay, so first one is to do with languages and regular expressions. So what you see in this table is on the left-hand side the definition of various constructs for the language of regular expressions, on the right-hand side what they mean. So let me first just say a little bit about how to understand this stuff. Okay, so over there on the left-hand side you see things like A, which is a primitive symbol, and then you're seeing things like a bar and things like an asterisk. And I mentioned those things before, but just to be clear, so remember in the last lecture I introduced a very compact notation for describing what a regular expression for a language is. So you could say things like A followed by B was written like that. Okay, and that represents the language of all the strings that would have just A followed by B. Or I could say A followed A or B. Okay, and that would be all. That would describe the languages that had exactly A or had exactly B in them. Or I could have A followed by B zero or as many times as you like. Again, that would be the languages that had A, B. It had either the empty string or AB or AB, 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 and so on as many times as you like. And of course, these things are like, and this connection as well, are a bit like the logical operators. You can nest them. So I could say things like A followed by B or C. Okay? And those would be the strings AB, AC. Right? Happy with those examples? Very important that you understand those examples. Okay, so now if you understand those examples, then you understand the kind of basic concepts we're dealing with. So it's just using this way of describing languages, using these connectives to give you choice, which symbols you're including at different points in the sequence, and how you can nest them, you know, any way you like. A bit like the logic connectors, preserving the semantics as you go. So then, this is the general definition of what these things mean. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time on it to make absolutely sure you understand. And then in the next slide, I'm going to be linking them into, is it the next slide? Certainly one of the subsequent slides, I'll be linking them into finite state machines. So here are the various categories you can have. These are the simplest ones. So you could have the kind of null language. That's the language where there's no finite state machine that will accept it. There's nothing in your language at all. So that's just null. Or you could have the language of the empty string, which is different from a language not being accepted. I could say I have a language where I'll accept the empty string. In fact, this guy here accepts empty strings as well as the string that's inside, right? So that's different from saying I don't have a language. Or I can have a primitive symbol like A. So there's a primitive symbol in there. Could have been any of the other primitive symbols that we want to have in our languages. It doesn't have to be alphabetical characters. It can be ones or whatever symbols you want to use as the primitive ones, right? So those are the simplest thing you can have. So for the language for the empty string is just the empty string, set containing the empty string. The language for the primitive symbol is just exactly the set containing that primitive symbol, and that's the only thing in your language, right? So what we're doing over here is defining the set of sequences corresponding to the expression that we're defining here. So then, what's the language for something S followed by something T? For example, A followed by B here. And that's going to be the set of X followed by Y, such that X is in the language of S, and Y is in the language of T. So if we were to do it for this one, then it would be the set of X, Y, such that, let me write it down. It would be the set of X, Y, such that X is in the language for A, and Y is in the language for B. Okay, and then you take all the elements inside here, and in the set for A, you can work that out from there. So what that is actually the set A, and what that is the set B. Right, and so then these will be all the pairs where X is in A and Y is in B, and so that's just AB. But if this had been a more complicated language where we had more elements in the set, then we'd have got the other pairs, joining them together, concatenating them end to end. Happy with that? Yes? Maybe? Maybe not. We'll come back. I'll do another example in a moment. I need another one to play with here. So let's see. Let me take this one. So this is the language of S or T. So that language is the set of elements X, such that X is in the language of S, or X is the language of T. We can select from either side. So let me give you another example over here. Whoops, sorry. Oh, put that down. Over here. Bum, 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 bum. There. So suppose I wanted to do, actually that one. So I want to do the language for A, B, or C. Okay. Now that's going to be, so I just follow my rules here. So that's going to be A followed by B or C. So I use that one, right? So it's a set of pairs X, Y, such that X is in the language for A. Right? And Y is in the language for, and now it's B or C. B, C. Okay, and now I need to work out what this is. So the language for A is just A, right, by that one. And the language for B or C is the set of, I use that one. I'll use a different X here. I'll call it X prime or something. X prime such that X prime is in B. The language for B, sorry. The language for B. Or X prime is in the language for C. All right. And the language for B is going to be just B. And the language for C is just C, right? So now all I've done is apply these rules to find out exactly what these sets now all are. And then I can start selecting from them. So this set now is going to be B and C, right? So this set here then is the set containing B, C, right? Because it's a set of elements such that it's in the language of B or the language of C, B, C. So then I know what this guy is in here. And now I'm selecting from here, I'm selecting from here. So then I put them together. So then this set is, let me see, AB, followed by, AB and AC. Right? And that's the language for A, B, or C. See how that works? Completely happy about that. Yep, ask.
Why is it and but not or for B and C?
This one?
I mean like for X dash.
Oh, this guy.
Yeah. Why it is not B or C?
So this is X being a member of B or X is a member of C.
Yeah.
So I can choose it from B from I can choose it from this guy or I can choose it from this guy. It's going to be this X. No, because it's either going to bind this variable from here, or we're going to bind this variable from here.
So our like total expression is going to be AB or AC.
So what this is a set of all of the sequences that correspond to the language for this regular expression. So I'm saying what you really have in a regular expression like this structure is something that's describing a language. And what I'm doing is I'm telling you, but a language is a set of sequences. And here are the sequences for this language. So we have the definition for the language is the regular expression. Then we have the sequences that correspond to it. That's its meaning. Okay. Yuck, chalk, I hate chalk. Okay. Happy with that and happy how we generate this. Okay, so if you feel it's a little bit difficult to kind of come to terms with here, then what I thoroughly recommend is you go away and just work through this like I did with examples, concrete examples. And you will find, unless I've made a mistake in the way I've written this down, that you can generate, you know, for any language, if you take enough time, apart from things that turn out to be infinite with a star, then that you can generate all the sequences. Okay, so here we go. So we've done this one. Last one is repetition. So the language for S, 0 or many times, is either the language of the empty string, which is that one. It's the language of the empty string, union, all of these other languages. So there's X, such that X is the language of just S, or X1 followed by X2, so that X1 is the language of S, and X2 is the language of S, union as many times as you like. So what that's doing is simply taking a whole lot of concatenations of whatever is the symbols that you're getting for the language of S. Okay? Happy with that? Or would you like me to work through an example of that one? Would that be good? Maybe it would. Let's do it. We have time. So suppose I want to do the language of, I don't know, AB as many times as you like. So that guy as many times as you like. Okay, and that's going to be, now, since that sequence extends potentially infinitely, I can't draw it all out for you, but I'll do you the first little one. It's the empty string, union, the set of x such that x is in the language of AB. And I'll do the next one. Union, the set of x1, x2, such that x1 is in the language of AB, and x2 is in the language of AB. And so on. Okay, for more, adding on more of these pairings. So if I start to do these, then for this one, it's simple. It's the empty string. For this one, I need to tell you what this is. So this is the set of, let's call it x prime, such that, and it's that one up there. Sorry, set of x y prime such that x prime is in the language for A, and y prime is in the language for B. And that's just A, and that's just B. Okay, so now this whole thing here is the set AB, right? Because I can select its sequence x followed by x prime followed by y prime, where that comes from there, that comes from there, and there's only one element here, so I get exactly one sequence. Okay. So that's that for that one. Now I need to look at this one, and this one. A bit further up. This one, I've got a pair x1, x2, and now I need to get the language for AB and the language for AB here. But I already did you the language for AB, right? So I can just replicate it. It's exactly this. It's the same here and here and here. So that is just a set AB. And that is just a set AB. And so now this is this one here is the pair, put it down a little bit, because I'm not that tall. This set here is the pairs of those, so I get the set. And there's only one element in each set, so this is AB, AB. Right? Happy with that step, because it's just concatenating the two together, where this one came from here, this one came from here. Which are these sets, they contain exactly one element each. So now we have this one. So now if we go back and look, we take the union of these guys, which is, I'll just write it all out in full, it's this, empty string, union, that guy, AB, union, that guy, AB, AB, okay, which is empty string, AB, A, B, A, B. Right? And because it's repeat as many times as you like, I could have continued doing this, x1, x2, x3, the same way, x4, x5. And so what would happen, I would have got more and more bigger unions of strings. And the strings getting bigger and bigger, and it ended up with A. I had next one would have been A, B, A, B, A, B, and so on. It continues. Right. Happy with that. So if you still feel it's a little bit iffy, then just go through and work it out. It should just be a question of taking examples. Right, so that's that. So now what I've given you is, what you now have is the notion of language for a regular expression, and what that actually means when you turn it into the sequences that correspond to the regular expression definition. Oh, I did one there. Ah, okay, I'd forgotten I put that in. So we don't need that now. Unless you want to do yet another one. Do you want to do yet another one? Well, let me show you. So here's one, A or B, followed by C, followed by D or E, right? So that's going to be the set of pairs X, Y, such as X is in the language of A, B, and Y is in the language of C, followed by D or E. There you go. Right, happy with that? At the top level. Then I have to say what this is. So then that's exactly the same thing, except I'm expanding out what the language of A, B is. So here we go. Language of A or B is X, such as X is in A, or X is in the language of B, right? And Y is in the, and I haven't changed the Y here, right? So now I'll rewrite the Y bit. So I know that's for C, followed by D or E. So we'll first do this, the sequence bit. So then the Y is X, Y1, such X1 is the language of C, and Y is in the language of D or E. Okay, so now I'll expand. Which bit am I expanding now? The probably the D or E bit, yep. So I take this bit and I expand it, and it's set of Y1 such that Y1 is in the set of X2, such as X is in D or X is in E. And now I just give you the, now I've got the languages for all, if you look at this expression, I've got the languages just for the primitive elements here. So I just set them in. There's the language for A is just A, the language for B is B, and so on. And so now this thing has nothing at all but memberships or actual concrete sets. And now all I do, I'm not going to go through and work it out, you can if you want, but you're simply pulling all the elements out of these sets and you end up with this. So then the language for A or B, followed by C, followed by D or E, is ACD, BCD, ACE, BCE, which actually intuitively makes sense when you just look at it. And once you've done this a little bit, you'll get a bit better at just looking at things like this and going, oh, well, this would be sort of what the set would be. So this is A or B, so I can choose either one of these, followed by C, and then I can choose either one of these. So I just have all the combinations of things with C in the middle, and then A or B at each end. A or B at one end and D or E at the other. So I get A, C, D, B, C, D, all the combinations. Okay, so one thing that you can do with this, and I'm actually not going to dwell on it because it's not a big thing for, as far as I'm concerned, for this course, but it's satisfying to explain because it's a little bit symmetrical to talking about equivalences in logics. You can talk about equivalences between languages. It's quite a powerful thing to do because I can talk about the equivalences without giving you the concrete languages now. So here are some. I'm not going to go through them all. I've written out some here, and there are many more, but just to give you an idea. So the language for R or R, doesn't matter what the regular expression is the same as the language for R because I could choose either side, right? And I'm choosing the same thing on either side. So in the end, once you understand what the definitions for the regular expressions are from the previous slides, I think you can quickly convince yourself that they end up being the same. So then it's just the same as saying the language for R. RS, it's the same as the language for S or R. Let me choose some other ones. The empty string, the language for the empty string followed by whatever it is the same as the language for whatever it is, or the other way around, because you're just going to have the empty string. There. Where else? I don't want to dwell on these because I'm running a little bit short of time. Let's choose one. You can go back and look at them on the slides if you want. So the language for R followed by R, zero or many times, is the same as the language for R, zero or many times followed by R. So you can play these games where you're saying, is this language equivalent to this other language? And then you can go back and look at the meanings for the languages and convince yourself that that is true. Here's an example of why that's kind of useful. So it kind of gets useful where you're looking at complicated regular expressions and you want to know, am I really looking at the same language here? Is this language the same language as this other one that I've defined in a particular way? So I suppose you want to ask yourself the question, is the language of this regular expression, which looks kind of hairy and complicated, so 0 followed by 1 and the 0 as many times as you like followed by 1, or 0 followed by 1 as many times as you like, is that the same as this simpler language? It's just the language of 0 followed by 1 as many times as you like. Because you might prefer the simpler language then, because it's a neater definition. Right? And so then you can use equivalences if you got them to do that. And here's how to do that with this example. And you do it just like you did with equivalences for logical expressions. You take one of them, let's say this one, here it is, and then you try to rewrite it by using equivalence rules to turn it into the one that you want to be equivalent. And if you have, and all the equivalent rules hold, then it really is true that this one is the same language as this one, without actually having to enumerate the sets. So here's how you would do it. So if you use this equivalence, which says that R followed by SR as many times as you like is the same as RS as many times as you like followed by R, then you just map that on to that bit. That means that 0 followed by 1, 0 as many times as you like is the same as 0, 1 as many times as you like followed by 0. And that means you can produce that guy. And now from that guy, you can say that R as many times as you like followed by R is the same as R followed by R as many times as you like, which maps on to that bit. And so then you can turn that bit into that bit. Now, then you can use this equivalence that says as R as many times as you like is the same as R followed by R as many times as you like, or the empty string, to take this bit. And actually, this is the kind of tricky step in this, because you're not simplifying here. You're actually making it a little larger. You turn that bit into this bit. Right? I'm going through this very, very, very quickly just to make up a little bit of time. But you can go back over it if you like. So the nice thing now is we've got two things that look the same here, plus the empty string. And so then I can use this rule that says R or R is the same as R, to take these two guys and effectively cancel them out against each other to get this guy. And now I've got this, or the empty string. So R star followed by the empty string is the same as R star, gives me this guy, which is the one I wanted. And so now I have my equivalence. So essentially, the only reason for giving you this is to show that you can do a similar kind of thing that you do showing that two logical expressions are equivalent. Now, with your regular expressions, given that you've got some proved equivalences, in order to show that two languages are equivalent. Right, sorry, that was quite quick, but I wanted to get on to the second bit, which is talking a little bit about the relationship between regular expressions and finite state machines. So there's a famous theorem called Kleene's theorem that says that a language is a regular language, so accepted by some finite state machine, if there's some regular expression such that the language of that regular expression is the regular language of that finite state machine. So it links very intimately regular languages and finite state machines. And we're going to look at a proof of half of that theorem. The proof is going to be quite informal. Really, the reason for doing this is to show you the link between regular expressions and finite state machines, which is just a nice, beautiful thing to show you. Okay. So what we're going to look at is whether, for all regular expressions, there exists a finite state machine model such that the language of the model is the language of the regular expression. So you have these things that you can do, which are machines, that will tell you whether a sequence is accepted or not. These are acceptor finite state machines. You know about those things. You know how to build them. And I've just told you about regular expressions, which are nice compact ways of defining a language that you want to build. Wouldn't it be nice if there was always a finite state machine that you could build for telling you whether you had the right regular expression or not? And the answer is yes, there always is. And so now I'm going to convince you that yes, there always is. So here we go. The other nice thing about this is it allows me to talk about induction. Have you heard about inductive proofs and so on? Yes. Has everybody heard about induction? In some ways, it's a simple notion. Simple human way of understanding inductive proof is you want to be able to prove something for all things of a certain kind. You have some particular, and you have something that gives you an ordering on those things. You start with the simplest one, you show it holds for the simplest one, you show that it holds for the next one in some ordering on that sequence, and then because that ordering will always hold even from the place where you currently are, then that would be true forever across all of that sequence, and that would be an inductive proof, or at least that's a particular kind of inductive proof. So what we're going to do is like that. We'll show it holds for the simplest cases, and then we'll take show you that it holds you from every step from any simplest case, or any case that came from that step, and therefore it holds for them all. Right. So here we go. The simplest case is this. So you're going to have to hold in your head what the various elements of the regular expressions are. So here are the simplest forms of regular expressions. It's either null, there's no string, or it's an empty string, or it's just an atomic symbol. Those are the simplest ones, the simplest ones that you could possibly have as regular expressions. Okay? And for each one of those, I can draw you the finite state machine. It's trivial. So for the one where I've got no string, then it's a non-accepting state. It's an arc going into a non-accepting state. Where I've got the empty string, it's an accepting state, but with no symbol. Right? So remember I was saying it's that null is different from the empty string. That's why. For a symbol, single symbol, it's from a state via that symbol to the accepting state. Right? So now, for any of the primitive regular expressions, it's definitely true that we can draw the finite state machine. If that was all there was to regular expressions, why wouldn't the proof be easy? Right? Because that's just immediate. Happy with that? So now, for these primitive ones, I can tell you that the language of the finite state model is the same as the language of the regular expression, because I've just defined it for you. It's just right there. Okay, so now here's where you use a bit from a previous lecture, because let's look at the bigger ones. And in a previous lecture, you were given a structured way of building all of the bigger ones, actually. Yippee, I like it when these things come together. So remember the bit where you could put in sequence, right? And we could build that in a structured way. Here's how. So if I want to build one finite state sequence model in sequence with another, I take whatever M1 is, and whatever M2 is, and simply have an empty string transition to the start of M2 from the end of M1. And then I have the initial state and the end state be at the ends of that construction. And you've seen this before, so you already know how that works, right? So you must believe that I can build this, right? Because I showed you how to build it. Same true for an OR. So I have an OR. Here's how I build it. I take whatever this is, and I have an empty string transitions that go from the new start state to the new end state, going through the start and end states of these guys. Boof. So now you know how to build that one. And for this one, I can build one where this guy goes in here, and then this is the bit that gives me zero, and this is the one that gives me repetition. And that's exactly what you had in the previous lecture. So now you have these structures. For any of those guys, you can build from the smaller components. The larger components are sequence, choice, repetition. Now we go through the cases. So suppose I've got a regular expression which is a sequence, one of those guys. Then suppose we have a machine, M1, so that the language of M1 is the language of that regular expression, and we have a machine, M2, such that the language of M2 is the language of that regular expression. We can build it. I showed you how. You know how to do that. And it will accept the language, which is the language of M1, followed by the language of M2. Set of x, y, such as x is in the language of M1 and y is in the language of M2. And now we make use of these equivalences. So we know that the language of M1 is going to be the language of R1, or at least we're assuming that. Then that will be the language of R1, followed by the language of R2, right? Because these two things are assumed to be the same for whatever is M1 and M2. So then it's the language of R1 followed by R2, which is exactly what we want for the regular expression, if you cast your mind back to what a regular expression means, which we defined at the very beginning of the lecture, right? So I'm just going to pull this. This is the trick that I'm going to pull for every one of these three cases, right? We construct a machine. We assume equivalences between the languages of the components. And then I show you how it turns out that we get from the resulting language for the machine the corresponding language for the regular expression. Next one is the same. Choice. So suppose we have M1, and we have this nice property for M1, which is the language of the regular expression for R1, language regular expression for R2. You could build the machine. You know how to build it. That's what its semantics is. So it's just the union of those two. And that's going to be the language of R1, union of the language of R2, which is language of R1 or R2. Right? Last one is repetition. Okay, so now we have a regular expression R is R1 as many times as you like. So suppose we have the machine. Language of the machine is the language for R1. We can build the construct for the machine that gives us repetition on R1. And it accepts this language, because that's what the machine does, which is the same as the language for R1, because we're assuming that M1 and R1 are equivalent. And that's the language for R1 star. OK? Right, so what I've shown you, so in every one of these cases, there was this assumption. I said, assuming that the language of the machine and the regular expression are equivalent. And for every one of these cases, then I showed you how, assuming that the languages were equivalent for the smaller machines inside these bigger ones that we constructed incrementally, then we would be safe to assume that was true for the larger one. And then also you remember that for the very simplest machines that we defined, I could tell you exactly what the structures are so that we were sure that equivalence held. Now, and then the trick is all of these then combine. So there's nothing that would ever be inside one of these things where I'd made those assumptions that wouldn't be one of the ones that would eventually end up to be trivially true, because we defined what the basic construct was for the individual expression. So every one can be constructed. So that's what I'm saying here. So every well-formed regular expression gets composed via sequence choice repeat to smaller ones. And we always end in our atomic expressions. And we know that for every atomic expression, we can construct a regular expression. And we know that for any combination of regular expressions, we can construct a finite state machine accepting the same language, assuming we were able to construct FSMs for the sub-expressions. And that assumption always holds, given what we had up here, which is the really nice trick that you get with these kind of inductive proofs. You make a whole lot of assumptions, which you can then discharge because you know that the basic one held, and absolutely every step of the way, the assumptions also hold. Okay. Just to finish up, you can actually, there's a kind of practical purpose to all of this, of course, which maybe you've already exercised because you might have started doing it from a previous lecture. You can simply use this to construct the regular expressions for languages. Suppose I say to you, suppose you go, I don't really like all that kind of logical proof stuff. Who cares? He's just proving a point. All I want to do is to build finite state machines. Well, I also told you, as part of doing this, how to do that for a regular expression. So here's one. I suppose I say to you, construct for me the finite state machine that would be able to determine whether you could accept this fancy-looking language, language 0 or 1 as many times as you like, followed by 1, and then 0 or 1 as many times as you like. I say, construct me one. Well, you do it just like I did for the proof. You say, okay, what's the simplest thing I can have? I can have a 0 or a 1. Okay, give me a construct for 0. Here it is. It's just a transition for 0. Give me a construct for 1. Here it is. It's just a transition going from with a 1. And then I say, okay, give me a construct for 0 or 1. Well, it's one of these choice structures. So I take 0 and I take 1 and I join it up like this. And then I say, okay, that's fine. Now I want to do that as many times as you like. Okay, I take this guy and I add on the as many times as you like bit. So there's the 0 and that's the repetition bit. And now I have this big one, right? So this is like a component in software almost, because now I can look at this thing and say, oh, I need the same thing over here. Right, copy, paste, right? Because it's exactly the same, the meaning of this is the same as the meaning of that, so that's okay. And now I need to do this bit. So give me a 1, 1. Give me another 1, 1. Join them together in sequence. And now take this one that I've got, and this one, and join them in sequence, bloop. And now I have my whole expression. Here's the start, and here's the end, and you're done. Which is probably not a particularly, it's a little bit ugly, but it'll work, right? And you can build it incrementally. So that's the engineering message at the end. And actually, wow! I thought I was going to be pushed for time with this, but actually I'm in reasonable time. Any questions at the end? No. In that case, no. Somebody still. No, you.
I might miss something. The epsilons are just kind of programming choices.
So the epsilons are the epsilon is a transition with an empty sequence. So it's you go, but you don't need a symbol.
What triggers the going?
Which?
What triggers the going?
So it's just, well, what triggers it? It's just that you can go. I mean, there's, yeah. Oh, another question. Sorry, the questions are coming, so.
Why should we do that when there is a much more simple way for us to find extension for this
thing? Yes. So why should you ever do that? Could be that you look at that and you go, intuitively it's much simpler, I just do it that way. Great. But not all problems are that easy. So there might be ones where actually you do methodically want to do it. Because you can't just look at it and say, this is the way that the thing should look. Or you might want to do it this way first, and then use that thing, could I simplify that? Which you could, even this one, just looking at it. So that's the reason for doing that. Okay? Jolly good. See you on Friday, which is tomorrow. Hello.
I have a question about sequence calculus again.
Oh, ask away.
It's about on the test. Can we we are going to be given a set of proofs, I guess.
Yes, typically what you get, if you look at the exams, then what you'll see is that you get given, what will normally happen is you get a set of proof rules, and then it says, see if you can prove the sequence. Normally in the exam you'll be given one set. Yeah, because otherwise it's really very difficult to mark. Because then you have to check whether the proof rule someone invented is correct. So you'll give them a fixed set. One moment, I'll just wipe this out and then we'll chat. Or it's maybe very quick. Well, I'll do it while. I'll tell you what. Shariar Bajani, the teaching assistant. Yes. The only problem is that at the moment, Shariar, since he's Iranian, he's on the Hajj. That's why.
Right, and the mute button is...
Yeah, so that's just how you turn
right.
that on.
And it's controlled
up? That's how you mute again. So, that's the off switch. And I'll show you later. Varying levels, I don't know what the numbers
okay,
actually
no,
stand
fine.
For, but
when you just
that one before.
Okay, that's good. And the mic boom there.
That's
great. I think that's
fine.
Thank you very much.
But no worries. You're not using that, are you?
No.
I'll be here for another 10 minutes, but after that, my mom's
okay, no, that's fine. Thank you.
All right.